I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
Denny Long was in Baldwin today for the big 40th anniversary celebration of Lindus Construction between 9 and 10. Steve Thompson in studio today. Sorry, guys. Chris Rooney, Andy Prasky, you're stuck with me for an hour.
No prizes? We'll
try and get through
no
it.
No food trucks?
Hey, that's a great idea.
No kidding.
I'm thinking Andy had the wrong address for me. I've never got that invite.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we would have showed up if they asked us, but...
No invite.
Yep.
No invite.
Maybe next year.
It's all right.
Well, here we go.
9 food trucks? That would have been pretty
good. I'm mad that you didn't invite him to RuneFest last year.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. He's get me back.
Yeah, food trucks, I'm in. I am in for sure. It is June 1, guys. Summer is underway. And Lakeshore property is hot. This is when people are looking, buying, trying to sell if they want to get out. So my brother and I are looking at Lakeshore property. No, I'm kidding. But I suppose there are some pitfalls when you get into deals, and people need to go into that with their eyes wide open if they're going to bring in family members into a Lakeshore situation. I'm sure you've run into that a time or two.
Boy, not only just family members, but people that might not be married. You know, we run into that a lot. And I'll tell you what, I always tell them, I mean, you don't have to do this, but I always tell them, put a plan together from the beginning.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, how are you going to solve it later on? Who's going to buy it? Who's going to sell it? So you know up front.
Well, and I think that that's more than fair. And, you know, the other side of it is, think of us as parents and we're saying, hey, I'm going to give this to my children. But not all children are the same on earning potential. They're not all the same on legalities or bankruptcies or whatever. So all of a sudden you have three people that are forced or are given the opportunity to own together. And sometimes that's not always a good fit. And so, you know, if there's a trust that's set up, or there's a way for, you know, money that for several years it could pay even the taxes. I know I've dealt with several families where this has been a problem, where there's a whole bunch of kids in the family. They inherit the property, so there's no money exchange, but the maintenance, the taxes, and then you have the one brother or sister that can't keep up. So what do? Kick them out? I mean, that's not the point of what mom and dad tried to set up. So the idea is, how do you take care of your weakest link in that situation and do it amicably so that it's fair for everybody that does, you know, maybe pitch in a little bit more. So
yeah, and sometimes it's not the family members, but there's other people that you might be married to that enter into this agreement as well.
What?
And and then sometimes those people.
I can't imagine.
My wife is perfect, just for the record.
Yeah.
Mine as well. Yeah.
Sometimes those people leave the situation and maybe a new one comes in. And, you know, that can cause a whole bunch of fun, too. So I would recommend, Mr. Thompson, that if that's something that you're going to do, and I don't think you are, but if you are, just get it in writing and just try to get every scenario put in place, because then it's everyone knows. And now we go from there, because I've dealt with a lot of estate issues where you have multiple kids that, you know, one's in charge and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you got the better bike when we were younger, and, you know, you always get everything, and then they're fighting over, and it's like, no, we're trying to sell this house. You know, we can't talk about bikes 40 years ago.
Well, or how about this, Chris? How about the, you know, beyond even just the bikes, saying that, you know, mom or dad said that they wanted me to have this, or mom and dad's, you know what I mean? And it can be a nightmare.
Jewelry.
Well, how about houses? How about the mom and dad gave me a mortgage on this house, and they said if they ever died, they were going to forgive it. And that's, you know, a portion of their estate, a good portion of their, you know, worth. It can be a problem. And so, you know, a family attorney sitting down and planning it out so that it's fair. And I think that the other thing is this, as the parents, talk to the kids. Don't
all
just throw it on them and say, surprise, here's a trust, and you guys all inherit this. I think you really need to have that hard conversation when everybody's healthy and in good state of mind, and it's just good planning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it is one of those where there are so many issues. I mean, just think about dates in the summer. You got Memorial Day, you got 4th of July, you got Labor Day, you got some, you know, fishing opener potentially. Who gets those dates? I mean, it gets down to that. I've heard horror stories. Mm-hmm. I work with a guy whose mom finally just subdivided the property. They had some lakeshore, and it's like, you get 100 feet, you get 100 feet, you get 100 feet, good luck to you. There you go. And just divide it up, because it did become a fight over dates and weekends and who gets what. And I took the dock out a year ago. You get to put, you know, maintenance on the boat. Yeah. There was no fuel in the boat. The list is endless.
It's a challenge, and I've seen so many varieties of, you know, and then there's some families that, of course, are the perfect family that everybody gets along and the boat's always full and it's clean. And hey, I went out of my way and bought you guys some new sheets for your week when you're up here.
Yeah.
And then there's the other family where you show up and the garbage cans are full, the boat's broken, and they don't even tell you it's broken.
There's no beer.
Yeah. So each family knows what they're getting into, because you know your family better than anybody. So family beware. I don't know.
You know, I was going to – when you started talking about it, I was thinking you were going to go into, like, what the lake market was. And I thought of something, so I have to talk about it. But I think what's really interesting about the lake is that it gets hot, like, right away, and then it starts cooling a little. And the reason it cools is because people are like, all right, I've already waited till June. You know, now I'm going to wait and see what else comes on. And so they sit there and wait and wait, and then all of a sudden it heats up again. So if something comes on that's really good, they'll grab it. But otherwise they wait until kind of the fall, and it's like, oh, no, we're going to miss out again. So let's grab this one that they already looked at probably 3 months ago.
Well, so – and I've sold some lakes here where this has happened to me. And, Chris, I want your opinion on this. So the family that says, you know what, we want one more summer in the cabin or with the family at the lake, and then – you know, after Labor Day, we're going to throw it up for sale. And you know, so they took the best weekends of the summer, the holiday weekends, and then they're trying to sell it probably at, you know, I don't want to say the worst time of the year, because it's not.
Are you talking a metro lake or a vacation type lake up north?
I don't know. I wasn't thinking that detailed. I was just thinking more of the time of the year, you know, if you come at it from at the end of the season, because it is seasonal. And right. And
but I mean, sometimes you can hit it good. I've had so much luck with lakeshore property in the fall. Just because people feel like, God darn it, I'm going to miss it again. So now I'm going to grab it now, and then I'll have it for the spring, and we'll start all over.
You and I have talked about new construction on the lake, where that's the perfect time, because you see when the weeds, if you will, out front are the most mature. So you can see the worst case scenario. Like this time of year, you can see with the water this high as it is, you can see, geez, here's worst case scenario for the high water lines, you know, or whatever's happening. And then you get into that where it's just – there's certain times of the year, like planning ahead. You buy your cabin now to remodel it or build or take it down and rebuild. You almost need to start now to get it ready for next year, because it takes that long to build.
Interesting you should say that. I just closed on a lake property yesterday. And in my first intuition is I'm going to go wreck everything and take it all down. I did that on my first house, and it had mushroom tile in the bathroom, the master bath. Because this place had
Sounds
a master
nice.
Bath, yeah. But it had mushroom tile. And I'm like, we ain't having mushroom tile. So I went in there with a hammer and started hitting it out. Well, 3 years later, I finally got my shower. So I couldn't use it for 3 years because I couldn't take the mushrooms. But then I fixed it up right before I was going to sell it. So I barely got to use my bath. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. But you're right. It's kind of like, see how it lives, you know, how that house lives, and then how the lake is, and then kind of determine where you want to go from there.
That's a great strategy. I think get used to it before you remodel it, or, you know, decide to add on. And yeah. And by the way, God bless Christine. For dealing with you.
It was kind of funny. I said, they have a weed cutter there. And I said, hey, That's your job, remember? Yeah. Then the doc wasn't out. I said, why isn't the doc out? You should have that in by now. She knows I can't do anything, so it's pretty.
Phone number on the program, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. Chris and Andy in studio. It is a real estate show. We'll take a break. We will come back in a moment. It is a real estate show on a Saturday morning. Denny Long was on remote. Steve Thompson in. Chris Rooney, Andy Prasky here today. Phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. Let's go to the phone lines, guys. Gino, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello. I have got a question regarding a lot that I have in Orono. It's right in front of a small neighborhood beach. That gives it a nice, close lake view. And on top of that, you can actually use the water. It's not just a view. So you got lake access there, too, Lake Minnetonka. Wondering how much additional value that should bring to the property as compared to just a regular lot without those amenities.
So it is deeded access.
It is not deeded access, and you do not have a dock slip with it. It's just a... It's owned by the city, and it's a beach area that's probably 80 feet wide by 120 feet deep with a nice sandy beach and picnic table.
Wow. Okay.
Swim area.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I mean, being on the lake, then having access, and then having views, it kind of goes in that order of, you know, most valuable. And what do you think, Andy?
Well, you know, it's interesting, guys, because up north, not as much in the cities here because we're not developing as much. But, you know, Alexandria, Brainerd, these guys are selling the old farm and they're coming in with 1,000 feet of frontage on there and they could have their 10 lots and 100 lot. But the DNR and some of these regulatory groups don't like that. So what they're doing is they're doing bigger developments where there's people that look at the lake. So they have lake views. And then everybody in the development, regardless if you have a lake view or not, will have, like, for an example, a dock slip. And they have a public beach that they all share. And so it's like that's the next level of housing. I mean, so, you know, actually it the old cliche that they're not making any more, but they're not. Yeah. So Lakeshore being on the actual lake, owning Lakeshore is the probably the premium, like you're saying, Chris.
Yeah.
But then sometimes people don't want the taxes. And so being off the lake, you know, like I look at that and saying, and having a great view and being able to let the grandkids or whatever walk across the street or your own kids go swimming, get access to the lake and go, that to me is a very desirable, I don't know about value, but desire, it adds a lot.
Yeah. And if you think about it, all our city lakes, mm-hmm. I mean, the Minneapolis lakes, are, there's nobody that has Lakeshore. Everyone's like across from it, but it is lakefront,
right.
Essentially, when we're selling it.
Yep.
So, obviously there's good value. I mean, from a normal lot, there's so much that goes into it. I mean, a normal lot could be, I mean, it's a wooded lot. It's a walkout. Maybe this is a flat lot and it's on a busy street, but you have a lake view. So that all of that plays into it. But I'll tell you what buyers do is they justify, you know, and they go, well, geez, you know, yeah, I can't get on the lake. That's way too much. And that lake access one, I'd have to tear down a house because there's no lots available. Hey, here's the next best thing. Why not go in here? And it's a single lot. Now you can pick your own builder most likely.
Right. Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Chris. What do you think with Gino's situation there? If he has sewer access and water access in the street, but now you have to stub it and you have to pay for that because a lot of times – subdivided areas, or it's, you know, it used to be an old cabin here and they had two lots and they never connected. And so there's those extra fees that go with it too. Do you suggest to a guy like Gino that you get those utilities ready to go, hooked up, paid for before you sell it? Or do you just try to sell it for less and they'll let somebody, the new buyer, deal with it?
No, I think what you should, I mean, a good thing to do, and I don't know what the surrounding houses are like, but is maybe hook up with a builder. And there's a lot of to-be-built type things. And yeah, where the builder goes and does all that back, you know, that background for you and gets it ready and just shows a house that you can get. And they might design a house that gives you these great lake views. You know, and today with, you know, the old Photoshopping and how you can do that stuff, you can create views from your master bedroom from a plan now.
You should consider Lakeshore sales. You kind of seem to know what you're doing there, buddy.
Yeah, but there's a gigantic trend where I live, where we live, Andy, up in the northern suburbs along the river. The trend has been, as long as I can remember, that, and it does take time, where older homes, smaller homes, the lots sell, they leave a family, they get torn down, bigger stuff gets built. And we're seeing that more and more, and that's true really on waterfront all over the Twin Cities area.
Yeah. We're kind of running out of shanties up by us, though. I mean, there for a long time, there was that area. Those were cabins up there. People were coming from the city.
I live in a shanty along the river. I have one of the few remaining.
Well, good for you. Yeah. That's awesome. Low taxes. Enjoy the river and, you know, live cheap.
Yeah. You might see Andy coming down the road to get you, take you out. Yeah. But, no, there is. And you start seeing that, too. I mean, on all of a sudden, you know, these lakes. I mean, Prior Lake's a great example of that, is that, you know, now all of a sudden these houses that, you know, someone could get for $750 and it would be a nice house, they could be able to afford it, now is competing with tearing it down. And so, and then what those crazy people are doing is they're tearing it down, and they've got the cash to be able to do it. And the sellers are looking at it and saying, you know what, I don't have to worry about nothing. You know, rip that thing down. I don't have no worries later on. And that's what's happening. And so it's creating that lakeshore that it's really hard to get. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you're probably real up high. But being real up high is not a horrible thing either. You know, a lot of people love the views of a lake as well. And so and a lot of people, when they start marketing that, they try not to tell anyone, you know, oh, my gosh, you got a bunch of steps down the lake. But then you're getting the wrong people in there, because the wrong people are coming in there. And it's like, hey, I want a view.
I had a client of mine that we had almost a 30-foot elevation. And we had a putting green at the top. We had a nice bench up there. They had a deck right off the house. And
that's cool.
You could literally sit there and see the whole lake, and you didn't have to listen to the chatter because they were on one of the bigger chains. And you didn't have to listen to the chatter pontoon and hearing what they were saying. You know? And they had the nice shore elevator system that would actually bring them up.
Yeah.
You hit the button, and you ride down with your cooler full of stuff. You get on the boat, and you go, and it was perfect.
Yep.
We got a break coming up. We've got more. By the way, phone numbers 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. That's 81807. The Real Estate Show, Chris Rooney, Andy Prasky in studio today here on CCO. Real Estate Show, Chris Rooney, Andy Prasky joining us. If you want to talk lakeshore property, waterfront property, feel free to call the program, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. Chris and Andy, all real estate matters, fair game today on the program. Denny Long was alive on remote in Baldwin at the 40th anniversary of Lindus Construction with Andy Lindus between 9 and 10 o'clock today. Steve Thompson hanging out. All right, school winding down, the last day of school. Graduation ceremonies, graduation parties. I know you've been busy. You got a ton of them to go to yet, Andy. But families that are thinking of relocating, maybe selling the house, getting into a new house, the clock is really ticking, isn't it? I mean, it's time to
It's hard not to have that internal clock not tick a little bit when you think, oh, my gosh, my kids are graduating or they're moving on. And especially if you have a larger, you know, home that's designed to handle a big family. And then you start questioning, do I need this much square footage? Do I want to pay this much in taxes to live here? If I'm not using it, why hold it? You know, and so there is a lot of downsizing conversations that actually happen. I mean, in a good way, I love it because I've been at these graduation parties. Everybody asks the same question. What do you think is happening in the market? Is it a good time to sell? Is the equity back? Is there and those questions that are, you know, across the cake and, you know, punch as we're talking to each other are some fantastic questions. And it, Chris, I mean.
And at the good parties, the wings.
Oh, yeah. I haven't hit a wing party. We've had everything from tacos to Italian to, I mean, old-fashioned ham sandwiches to, you know, I mean, but it's.
Remember next graduation party?
I do.
Lots of wings.
How about catered barbecue from Q?
Oh,
that
done.
Works. Yeah.
Go see old Charlie up there. Charlie, every time I walk in there, I don't know how he remembers me. He's like, Andy, how's it going? Love the show.
You're
so hi, Charlie.
Well, when you're in there every day, I mean, you should get to know
right. When I knock on the door at 11, open it up. Are you open?
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff, though. Yeah, he does a great job.
I just drive the neighborhoods and look for grad parties and tenants. Just walk up.
Guys.
Congrats. I just got a stack of cards in the car. And
graduation awesome. Crashers.
And eat well.
Oh, it's a good time here to do that.
You know, but the other thing that graduation parties do is slow down the market. It really does, because you got to think, I mean, there's a lot of people that have graduating seniors that are having parties and stuff like that. And, you know, they're holding on, you know, maybe to prior to selling their house to be able to get through the graduation and get through the party and then go. But typically it's a real good time after that graduation party because they've done so much work to it.
The house is pristine.
Yeah. My sister was supposed to come over last night. Her graduation party is in over 2 weeks, and she had to clean on a Friday night.
She's the kind of party I like to go to.
Yeah.
I love these families that go way overboard. the photo collages and the color themes and the napkins match the plates. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You'd think these were weddings or something. Just they graduated high school, you know. So,
anyway. Well, the challenge is, though, when you look at people who are downsizing at this time of year, maybe their youngest is graduating, going off to college. Do we need that room? But what about the families where the kids are getting out of school, but maybe they want to move somewhere new? And what about that side of it where you're trying to get settled in time for the start of the new school year? You know, I mean, are we getting in a tough spot here in June already to get settled for the start of the next school
year?
Yeah, I say yay and nay because I think it used to be like that. And it was really hard. But I think now so many people are driving their kids to school. There's open enrolling in schools. They're going to charter schools, you know, that they're choosing. I mean, I remember when we were moving a lot. I mean, I moved a lot, but we kept our kids in the same school the whole time.
Right.
And so it didn't stop us. How are you, getting in before school?
New construction right now, if you look at that side of it, I mean, I'm talking January right now, you'd be closing. So we're trying to get you in before the end of the school year next year.
Wow.
So it's too busy. I mean, there's only so many people that can provide the work, the labor. And so that pipeline gets full pretty fast. Existing houses, I think that it's fair game. I think that you still have a month or so of, you know, being able to, you know, go out there, search for the house, buy it. But new construction, if you want to close, you know, build this year, you got to start around the first of the year just to get it closed by August is pretty fair, you know, depending on what size of house you have and what the demand that the builder you select has. And that's fair.
So, Andy, what's the most desirable neighborhood amenity? There's a Federal Reserve report that's out that says there's something, and you gave me the report, so you know the answer.
Say, you know, it's like, I don't know, Chris, grocery stores?
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Grocery store?
Joke. We ran this report.
That's what it is.
But I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't.
I mean, seriously. A grocery store?
Okay, gentlemen, let's each have a moment here to discuss.
Doesn't everyone have Amazon Prime? No, I'm just kidding. But
we're out of butter.
Tell us why you say grocery store.
I would say for just that reason. It's kind of like I've had kids over the years living at the house. I have one back from college who just graduated. And it's kind of like I want zucchini. Well, you can't run to the convenience store and get zucchini,
right?
So I would not be surprised that
every day you're living. What about trails and parks?
When I was a kid and you had the Cub when it first came out, for an example, you'd take the wax pencils and you'd write right on the cans. And that experience now to fast forward to, you know, the Hy-Vees and the Lunds and all these other stores that are just like catering. They have the food prepared. You can smell it. You see it. You want to eat right in the grocery store. It's a draw. It's a whole different experience now. But I agree. I think more, Chris, maybe what they're thinking is the access to it versus the you want to run and get a gallon of milk or something that it's, I would assume, I guess.
I don't know about this thing. The next thing is shops or restaurants, which I agree with that. Then the next slot went to a bank. You want a bank's nearby?
Or credit union.
Then, I don't know. And then obvious places of worship. I agree with that. Library. Park or playgrounds at 43%, and public transportation is only 37%. Well, and I would say that is pretty darn important.
But the one part that we did kind of overlook there when you were reading through that quickly is that you didn't look at the ages, and it had it broken down by age demographics. So different age groups had different desires. You know, so the 60-plus crowd was predominantly the one that wanted the grocery stores closer versus the least important would be the 30 to 44-year-olds that would care about that, for an example. So there was a little bit to that. But then, you know, when I look at houses, I mean, see, it's all about school district, and it's all about if they have children, or it's city-based. So, like, they want to live in specifically, like, Plymouth, or they want to live in, you know, Champlin or wherever, Prior Lake, whatever. And so then I see people shopping that way first, and then they start shopping within that, saying, can I afford to live in this community with these things that I really need to have to make me want to move?
Yeah, and another one you notice, though, driving around, for instance, just driving out to the airport, because from where we live up in the northern suburbs, you can't easily get from 94 to 35W to get out to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take Hiawatha, and it is extraordinary. Along Hiawatha, the housing that's been created associated with public light
transportation,
rail.
Totally.
And you see that really all over the Twin Cities as you see more and more public transportation, the housing options of various types. I mean, beyond the big apartment complexes. I mean, it is a huge driver.
It's really cool.
To be
it's actually really
town.
Cool. It's something new for us in the cities. You know, I mean, Chris, you were just over in
Denmark.
And we were talking about how the streets are narrow because they don't have the big cars and they, you know, ride bikes and do a lot of alternative transportation. And that's just new to the sprawling, you know, farmland of.
They literally have lanes for all the bikes. I mean, like bigger lanes than we have here, kind of off the side. There's curbs and everything for them. And they have their own lights on the. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, downtown.
And everything's public transportation about there or biking distance.
I mean,
And the prices show, so.
Maybe we didn't read that this was for actually for Denmark instead of Minnesota.
Oops, you're right.
Oh, my bad, guys. Strike that story.
Why would we ever prepare? That would be terrible.
No, but I think it's interesting what draws people in. And, you know, or just even when it comes down to new construction versus existing. And you look at, like, okay, if I want to live in, you know, Linden Hills and beautiful area, awesome restaurants, great walking stuff, you know, great walk score, as we call it. And, you know, so lots of cool amenities. But you enter that community where you're probably going to be buying either, you know, a teardown or you're buying a house that's already been renovated. So the budgets are, you know, really impressive, if you will. And then you just have to look at it. What kind of a project do I want? So,
well, when we talked about downsizing, and here we are, graduation season, maybe the youngest is graduating and it's just you and the wife at home. And what are we going to do with all this space? Are people considering, you know, downsizing literally to a condo or an apartment or that sort of thing? Do you visit with people all the time that are like, yeah, we're going to move into the city and we want to be along the light rail line? I mean, yeah. Do you run into that?
Absolutely.
What do you recommend, Chris? Because I always tell people when you're downsizing, try rentals first, because when you're going from 4,000 square feet or 3,000 square feet down to 1,000, it crimps your style. And it's one of the hardest things I see people do is try to, what do we do with all the things?
It's storage.
Yep.
That's the biggest, I think, shock for people is the storage part of it. Because it is. You got to get rid of stuff. I mean, you're in a one-level home, you know, and go to a condo. It just becomes a totally different lifestyle. And, I don't think that's a horrible idea, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like you can, you know, take your existing house and cut it in half and have the same lot and the same area. Which is kind of what we think. I think when we start getting into downsizing, I still want a, you know, 18x18 master suite. And what that doesn't happen.
I want a three-car garage because, I have a boat. And
it's funny. I've had three people that moved down and got an urban cabin, you know, in the city here to kind of test it out.
Yeah.
To see if that's something that they want. And it's more, hey, we got one. I mean, get it. I mean, good value on it. It's kind of on the lower end, which lower end's not really low when you're talking about Minneapolis, but in good location that they could get rid of it and then maybe expand to something else, but then get the feel for the area.
We had a guy a couple years back. It was up in the St. Cloud market, and he designed a couple detached townhouses that were slab on grade. And as he kept evolving his product line, he was like, hey, up here, everybody wants a front porch. As soon as he put the front porch on, they sell a few more units. They started using screen doors. They started using what they call, instead of being slab on grade, they'd actually have a storm room where it's a 12x12. You could also stick the utilities down there. It was great for, you know, whatever. And then the garages, the cherry on the top was when he decided to turn the garages going straight back. And then they could have a shared driveway between two units, and they'd have three-car garages. So you can still have that hobby shop or the place to keep your boat. And they sold the heck out of those things. I mean, they were in Mankato, St. Cloud. And anyway, it was a great concept. But it just, by the time you were done, the retirement-style home was $450, even back then, you know, in the early 2000s. So.
But I think some people, I mean, they want, they want that lifestyle, but they don't want to give up some of the other things that they have.
Right, right.
And that is the big thing. And I think that's when people go from no basements on that new lifestyle townhome to being able to have a twin home that has a full basement.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have that craft room. But, I mean, on a twin home or a townhouse situation, to get a third-car garage is very rare.
Well, and think about this. You're trying to paint a broad stroke when you're saying, this is my forever house, and you're only 60 years old. I mean, you could live for another 40 years. You might still be active, you know. So I've seen people when they retire or downsize or whatever, where they're even going to acreage and they have the pole barn so they can run the wood shop. They can have the whatever. There's multiple phases of, I would say, downsizing, and it doesn't have to be extremes where you go from the big, beautiful house to the small little apartment. You can actually do a couple steps in between, I think.
Well, there's ways to stay in your own house, too, that you can kind of redo it, and you can hire someone to take care of your landscaping and lawn, because that's the one thing. I just don't want to do the upkeep. I'm done with the upkeep, you know. Well, you can hire someone for that. You know, you're just going to an association. You're paying for it in the association fee, too. So
That's a great point, you know, and I think that there's a lot of people that overlook that. They don't think of, you know, having their single-family home. Like, I look at Champlin, has some of the most beautiful ramblers around. They're nice. You know, 1,000 square foot with the 2-car garage. You have littler yards, and some are bigger, some are littler, but it's manageable. I go, somebody probably mow your grass for $25 a week, $30, whatever the number is, right? And then you got somebody that'll shovel the driveway all winter. You could extend your use of that house for many years because it's not huge,
right? And you're maybe it's a 2-bedroom, and maybe you make it into a 1-bedroom, make a real nice master suite out of it.
There you go.
You know, and now you can stay there, and then maybe expand that kitchen the way that you want it, and you're able to stay there. It's basically taking our income away, but what the heck?
We're just doing what's ever. I suggested best. Multiple moves if you listen to
Oh, did you?
for the record, everybody.
Yeah. Good job, man.
I think everybody should move 5 or 6 more
Sell
times.
That one and buy the neighbors. They got a better view. Yeah.
Buy and sell annually.
Bundle. Yeah.
Chris and Andy continue in a moment. It is a real estate show. By the way, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. That is 81807. It is a real estate show. Andy and Chris in studio for the entire hour, as always. Denny Long's away. Steve Thompson in, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807 here at CCO. From the text line, when building a new home, would it be financially a good idea to make a nice 2-bedroom apartment in the walkout lower level, kind of a mother-in-law apartment situation?
That's Chris's fantasy.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't
in
know
Rooney
about
Land?
My fantasy, but
do we design? What is it?
You
Rooney
know what's
Land?
Crazy? I was just talking about that, meeting with somebody on Thursday about that exact thing. And what I talked about was being able to put a rental in your house. Now, whether or not it's that Airbnb, you want to rent it out, you want a kid, you want your parents down there or whatever, but have it in the zoning, because that's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that in your basement, but you can't rent it, and you're going to have to state it. And typically a building official will say that, hey, you've got a mother-in-law, the old mother-in-law apartment down there, that you can't rent that. That someone's staying there, you usually have to sign off on it when you're finishing it. A lot of people finish their basement without telling people, and then they do it anyways. But to be able to be, you know, square with everything and within the rules and regulations, being able to have a zoning that says that you can have that in it, I just think that would be a huge thing, and it's going to happen.
Well, and I believe, you know, like Chris, what you're saying, we've talked about having some of these cities relook at and revisit the zoning of single family homes, because in you know, some of these smaller towns or in the Minneapolis proper, St. Paul, there's people where they do turn a single-family home into a duplex, and the city's okay with it. They also have zoning where they'll let an apartment building be built on the corner with single-family homes on the street, you know, or whatever. So it's just being more realistic with what's happening in the world. The multi-generational housing needs right now are ridiculous. They still tell us through the National Builders Association that there's like 39% of the buyers are conscious of having mom and dad move back or the kids move back to home when they're building their new house. So having the ability to put that little, quote, apartment in the basement, you know, not necessarily for rental, but for the convenience of having your family live with you, I think is key. But secondly, what's wrong with a rental? What's wrong with you being retired and having your house upstairs and having somebody pay for it, and you've already paid for the house, having a little rental income come in, or maybe you make them mow the grass for you and shovel the driveway as they're part of their rent.
And what if you go to Arizona for 6 months and you got someone in the basement that's renting and watching over your place?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a great thing.
I think it's great, too.
Yeah. And, you know, that same article that lied about the grocery stores, it also talks about these boomerang kids. And, you know, kids staying with their parents.
You know
parents.
That article was put out by the Federal Reserve, Chris.
Yep, exactly. And so anyways,
but
they talk about kids coming back. Number one thing is saving money. Mm-hmm. And then the other part is to provide financial support for their parents, which is a lot of A lot of cultures do that.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it was interesting because the kids said they prefer living with others, and most of them would pick a parent over a peer to live with.
No kidding.
Yeah. Huh. But you don't want them. I mean, that's like my kid. You know, I don't like him over in Denmark. I want him home, and I'd love him to stay at my house, but I want him portioned off.
All those years of being a insulation. Helicopter parent. I think they categorized your type as.
I would love my kids not to leave, but we're just talking. So we started getting in this conversation on Thursday, and we started talking about it. And there's you think about the aging parents and, 60, 70 years old that are, they're not around the whole time. They're traveling. They're doing different things. But how about having them? Because what happens? They don't never get to see the kids too often. You know, they're in and out. But what if they live there? And you don't take advantage of them as babysitter, but you can watch over them. But every once in a while, they can hang out with the kids. And, that's life.
It is. I mean, they always, you'll say that. I always visit your grandparents when you get a chance because you never know when it'll be the last. And imagine having that access would be fantastic. You know what I mean? They miss sports or they miss whatever because they're, it's a transportation challenge or they don't want to drive at night or whatever. I mean, but there's so many different versions of, I think is the way to say it, of family, living arrangements. And the idea there is just having something that's friendly. I think that, we've said this numerous times, housing needs have changed dramatically over the last couple of years. And I don't see an issue with it. And I think that the way that we live should be reflected in our zoning, and people should take a look at it again.
But you know what the problem is? It's typically cars and stuff laying around all the place,
right.
And so you have all this stuff out there, but then put that in there. You know what? Create a garage for it, my thought, because you don't want it to detriment the value, because to me, I'm looking at these houses like they're going to be expensive houses that maybe these people couldn't afford. But I mean, it's not cheap if you say you're moving up the thing. I've moved 19 times, and from each level, it costs money to sell it and then to be able to go buy a new one, kind of fix it up. But what if you could get them and skip a few, get their parents' money involved in it and get the perfect house?
I see it all the time with new construction.
Yeah.
We do it all the time where the parents will throw in another $100,000-$200,000 into their build, and then the basement's finished off, right to their specifications with a separate entryway from the garage. And it's easy to do as long as the city, again, will let you do it.
All right, guys.
You know?
Yeah, it is a challenge. I think about my daughter who now out of college has a career going, but her and her boyfriend, what they pay for rent, it's kind of like, well, I could put a few bucks into the lower level of my place and give you a deal.
Yeah.
And you'd have a much nicer place.
Yeah.
Think about that, though.
Yeah. Because it's really about $5 per thousand that you do. So if they're, you could add $200,000 to your basement and have them pay $1,000 and you could finance it and it would pay for it.
Yeah. But I think they're fine where they are in South Minneapolis.
I'd be a little more of a slumlord. I'd leave it the way it is and charge rent. My kid. Let him suffer a little.
And not only that, get him in and then just raise the rent monthly.
Get him a taste of real life, right?
Well, guys, it's been fun. Websites, et cetera.
Chris, why don't you go ahead and...
This is a good... Well, we have one that's particular to both of us, and you can get everything from there. Information on the show, it's andyandrooney.com.
Andyandrooney.com. Good to see you.
Andy's always first.
Come on.
Elders should be first.
Good to see you guys. Chris Rooney, Andy Prasky, The Real Estate Show. Saturday mornings here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.